Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How you doing?
I am, and you better be.
Why, are you going to come up and beat me up or something if I'm not?
Well, it's only 4,000 miles away, so.
I am. And who is responsible for I am, anyway?
I am.
Yeah. Well, it's a very striking question. Who is responsible? Who is responsible? It's a blame game. I have to agree, I've heard it. And I've heard it more than once. But I can't say I've always heard it from Christian. But you're seeming to link this blame game that people play, God allowed such and such tragedy to occur, to Christians. And I don't know where that comes from. Is there a particular teaching in the church that leads people to that? Because most of the people I've heard say that wouldn't attend church.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. They wouldn't be churchgoers. They may have been raised in a Christian home, but most people over 50 probably were raised in Christian homes, in North America at least.
Okay. I know where I'm coming from with it now. I just processed it in my mind. There are certain teachers who insist on saying God allowed this thing to happen so that something else could happen.
Okay.
So I don't think it's fair to blanket the whole, every Christian with that statement. I'm not sure every Christian does. It's just my typical wanting to beat up on whoever it's convenient for me to beat up on, and Christianity seems like an easy target sometimes. So I confess that it's wrong. However, it's where I've gotten it is certain teachers. I get emails from people. Well, God allowed it, you know.
Okay.
No, and when they say God allowed it, really, you have to draw the conclusion, or I have to draw the conclusion that what they're saying is that God is in control of everything, and since it happened, God is to blame because he didn't prevent whatever to happen.
So you're saying it's synonymous. The phrase is synonymous. When I say God allowed such and such tragedy to occur, when God allowed the earthquake in Japan to occur, it's the same thing as saying God caused it. Is that what you're saying?
Is that a question?
Yeah, it's a question.
Well, there you are. But you're probably right. That's non-church-going lingo, I guess, isn't it?
Well, I want to move on in your article, though, because for someone who adopts that particular ideology, whether it be Christian or non-Christian or Muslim or whatever, if they adopt that particular ideology and said, was God allowed this to happen, or that it adds up to God being the cause and the controller and the influencer of this, what business is of mine to take authority of it, over it? So my question to you is does that mean that that's something you can't get past? If somebody comes to you and says, well, you know, God allowed this to happen, but brother, can you pray for me? I mean, does somebody come to you and say that? Or, like, does somebody actually ask you to take authority over some negativity in their life when they have that viewpoint? Have you experienced that?
No, and never, because a person who thinks that way believes that God is in control of everything, and therefore I doubt it that he would be looking to a brother or sister to have any positive influence in the situation.
There's that story from Paul where he said, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and God wouldn't remove this thorn from my side, whatever it is. Maybe he was talking about a friend that he had, kind of like you and me, right? I'm the thorn in your side, but rather than a physical ailment. And so, you know, I've heard a lot of people lean on that. So they go, oh, well, God's allowing that. I mean, look at Paul. He allowed Paul to have some form of physical infirmity. I've heard people not pursue healing for that reason.
Yeah, I have too. So what?
If God caused it in the first place, what business is it of mine to take authority over it? Or why go to a health practitioner?
Well, yeah, those things make no sense to me.
So if you've got a physical ailment that God allowed to happen, you should not seek out healing.
Well, isn't that a rather logical conclusion, or have I messed up?
It is a very logical conclusion. I agree with you 100%. It seems foolish to seek some form of healing. But again, I've heard people say, well, yeah, God allowed this to happen, but maybe he wants me to meet somebody in the hospital, or maybe something good will come out of this. Or, you know, I don't know how many times I've heard people say that. They look for, and this is Christians, they look for some form of silver lining. Well, God allowed this to happen so that I could meet this wonderful nurse and we get married. I'd learn about healthy nutrition at the hospital while I just about died.
I've heard that one, yes.
So I've heard a lot of that God would cause a physical deformity or physical ailment so that you could learn a lesson. I don't think that's his job. Isn't that job already taken?
Yeah. And your point being?
Well, my point being is I agree with you. This is really mixed up. I mean, if God didn't cause it, or God did cause it, well, why not go to God to get rid of it? I agree. Thinking anything different seems rather foolish.
Well, wowee. You know, we just don't have any fun anymore. I used to write an article and you'd go out of your mind over it, maybe.
Well, there is actually something I'd like to take you on for. I mean, let's just say here, if we go down to the last paragraph, you say, which God? We have been given authority over all of the works of what Jesus referred to as agents of the enemy. So we can both agree that agents of the enemy, being the cause of sickness or disease, are probably the source. So why wouldn't you just go to the agents of the enemy or the enemy directly to say, hey, what the heck's going on here? I mean, why would you bother going to God? I mean, if you're going to go to anybody, why go to God? Why not go to Satan and say, hey, what's up, Holmes?
Ooh, yeah, well, let me, an analogy is coming to me. You're in the middle of a war or something. So you sneak across the enemy lines and you get to the head of the enemy and you say, hey, you're inflicting damage here. Why? He'll shoot you in the butt.
Okay, fair enough. That's a very good metaphor.
Well, you know, I guess the thing that keeps coming to me over and over, and it is an angst among certain Christians who still feel so possessed to want to keep me, quote, in the fold, that they feel it incumbent upon themselves to explain to me that the enemy is a figment of my imagination. And to which I'm always amazed, only because, do you believe anything that Jesus said? Well, Paul said, I didn't ask you what Paul said. I said, do you believe anything that Jesus said? You know, he said the God of this world, you know, the cause of all kinds of ills and havoc that is created against human beings is created by who he referred to as the God of this world, Satan, you know, Lucifer, you know, on and on and on. What difference does it make?
Yep.
And
yep.
I think if we take the view that Jesus gave us, is that, you know, I have given you all authority over the works of this character who he met on several occasions when and said, get behind me. Of course, he had a couple of disciples that said some things that didn't exactly give him joy, to which he said, get thee behind me, Satan, there too. So, I don't know.
What you're stating here very clearly to me is that when somebody blames God or turns all the power over to God, then there's no room for change.
Oh, very well. Very well said. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, again, you and I are just on the same page. No wonder you published my stuff.
If God caused it, why would he remove it?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It would seem rather productive, right, to build a wall and then tear it back down?
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking of the guy, what was his name? One of the heads of the Mormon church would do exactly that. He would build a wall there near Salt Lake City, build a wall just so he could give somebody work to do, or said he needed a wall and had somebody build a wall, and then somebody else needed money, And he'd say, oh, okay. And so apparently there's a theology there of worshiping work, I guess. I don't know.
I do have one question for you in regards to God being the cause or not being the cause. Is the Creator responsible for the actions of its creation?
Wow. Are you responsible for the actions of your children?
To a certain extent, yeah.
And how long does that go on?
Well, until they reach the age of majority. But let's be honest with each other. If I turn my children into cruel, twisted, sadistic people because I beat them and bully them, and then they beat and bully their children, well, who's going to take responsibility for that? At some point, there's a certain segment of the responsibility for their behavior has to come back to roost on my shoulders if that's what I've decided to do with my children.
Yes, it's called parental guilt.
And you're saying that I can be absolved of such guilt if my children turn into axe murderers? I wonder how Mrs. Hitler felt.
Well, if you can accept as a possibility that an axe murderer is under the influence of a agent of the enemy, if that's a possibility, then maybe we are putting the wrong blame on the parent.
Okay.
Because
isn't God the creator of the agent just as much as he's the creator of the guy who turned into an axe murderer?
Well, I think that's where people go with it. We're into an area here that's rather interesting. Okay, so God created the enemy, therefore everything the enemy does is God to blame.
Well, he took responsibility once and he flooded the earth and started again with Noah and his boys. Correct? That's what the story suggests.
Well, so that being the case, then who's responsible for all the wars and all the crap that goes on in this world, including the axe murderers?
Well, if I believe the Noah story, I'd have to say that God didn't do a very good job with his creations, did he?
So you are willing to blame God for everything then?
On a personal basis, I'd have to say no. Because I'd prefer to take responsibility. It's a much easier way to go for me. I find it's a more successful strategy. But if I take a look at the Noah story, didn't he become unhappy with his creations and the way things were going? And those darn sons of men who are coming down and marrying their sons of God, marrying and sleeping with the daughters of men, right?
Well, yeah, that's one interpretation.
Well, it's there. And it says that he was displeased, and therefore he wiped them all out. It started again.
Wow, kind of interesting. My mind's reeling with that one. So that's like me taking responsibility for how screwed up my kids are, so I'll drown them.
It's a horror story. I'm sure Hollywood's made it a few times, but it's in the Bible. There's lots of horror stories in that book.
Well,
tons of them. I can give you example after example. Okay, so there's a story of a traveler arrives in a Jewish village, goes to the center, waits till the end of the day, and according to custom, somebody took him home for the night, him and his wife and his donkey. The men of the town saw the man and saw that he was going home with a certain local fella and went to the door and said, hey, give us that man. We want to have our way with him. And they said, no, 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 you can't have him. Take his wife instead. So they beat, murdered, raped, and abused the guy's wife in the morning. The traveler gets up the next day and he steps over his wife, who's still alive, and instead, God tells him to send a piece of her to every tribe in Israel, saying that the tribe of Benjamin raped and beat this man's wife, and you know what God's answer is? Erase the tribe of Benjamin.
Really?
Look it up, buddy, it's there.
Wow.
So there's God taking responsibility, and his responsibility is, well, if he doesn't like something, wipe them all out. How about the Canaanites, all the races and tribes that were resident in Israel when children of Jacob wanted to come back and set up camp again? What did God tell them? Kill them all. They're not pleasing to me anyway, so go ahead, kill them.
Boy, what do you make of that?
It would appear that if I look at the story, God's the creator of the problem, and he's the solution of the problem too. If I take the story for face value.
I'm overwhelmed. I just don't know what to do. We're victims here.
Victim?
Yeah, wow.
Well, here's what we're a victim of, at least of myself. I'm a victim of ignorance. I don't understand the story. I don't understand the purpose of the story. I don't understand the flood the flood story. I don't get it. And I choose to pay attention to the New Testament and the words of Christ. That's my choice. What's yours?
So then you're a Christian.
Because I follow the teachings of Christ.
I don't think so. No, I hope that the core of my being is that of following the teachings of Jesus. That I fail in that in various ways, I am sure. And we've discussed this many times on previous phone calls, that we both suspect that Christianity at large doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to much of what Jesus said. Therefore, I was poking fun when I said, oh, that makes you a Christian. Because, you know, by the dictionary definition of Christianity is those who follow the teachings of Jesus.
Right.
I think that's a hogwash definition.
But I think where people get mixed up, and where it would be easy to get mixed up with this, well, God caused it, is if they read the Old Testament, the Jewish books, they could clearly come to the conclusion, or easily come to the conclusion, that not only does God take responsibility, he actually gets involved and acts on his responsibility for the negative things that are going on in the world, or however God views them. I mean, I can draw that conclusion from reading that material. Can't you?
You bet. No disagreement.
Right. So we come back to the same place we always come back to, and that is, reading that material is useless without some form of interpretation or guide. Go ask Dad.
Yep.
Dad, did you put this sore neck on me? This arthritis? This cancer or whatever it is?
Holy mackerel. I'm envisioning him slapping you around for making such a statement.
Yeah.
Even inferring such a thing.
Well, then I guess that's what he does to everybody who carries that attitude. God allowed such and such a tragedy to occur.
Wow. You know, all I know is that Jesus did come, and he said he came to give us the authority and power of sons of God and to be overcomers of all that nonsense, not to just sit there and be defeated by it.
So then there are probably still some people around that are a bit confused by that, and maybe they haven't heard that as often as they've heard the story of Noah. If you ask most children if they've heard of Noah and the ark, probably 80% of North Americans would say yes. But if you ask them how many of them heard that Jesus came that they might have life and that more abundantly and authority over all the ways of the enemy, I'd say maybe 10%.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what drives me more than anything else to say some of the outlandish seeming things that I say. My bottom line is Jesus said that if we believe enough, and it's what he actually said, if we believe enough, nothing will be impossible. And if we believe enough, we'll do everything that he was able to do and say everything in the same way with authority and power, because it won't be us doing it. It will be just like he did it. He didn't do anything. His daddy in him did it. When we speak the truth and we speak authority, and you and I have both seen some wonderful works of our spirit parent in healing and in authority, and we know better than to make any claims that we did it. It was him. And how do I tap into that? Well, I tap into that ultimately by understanding and knowing and believing enough that he is in me and that I must rely on him to show me what to do. And he does the works, but they get done. Not too long ago, we were into you recorded a conversation, and I think I started ranting and raving, as I tend to do, that it's never us. It's him. And yet we're involved in the process by saying, yes, this will be. My dad said this, and I'm going to do this. And not stand there wringing my hands saying, oh God, why did you allow such a thing? So I guess I'm kind of a one-message guy, huh?
The message needs to be said over and over again. There's got to be some sort of change to get people off of this way of thinking that, that God is the cause of all the negative things in their life as well as the positive things, or that God is some sort of punishing or angry or nasty God. Rather,
I remember several months ago we got into a rather, the word nasty is coming to me, nasty email exchange with somebody who you really took on for saying just about what you just said, and that was that God caused it.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the issue was, but it had to do with basically, I think he was taking the position that God isn't going to heal something because he caused what? Am I off base there? Or
no, nope. You're right on. You're right on. But, you know, after this conversation, I'd have to say I understand the position now, and I didn't understand it before. I can understand where it came from because I never logically thought it out. Well, how could somebody arrive at that conclusion that God allowed such and such thing to happen to them?
Wow. Okay, so what is the antidote to that little bit of poison?
Well, it's always the same antidote. Go ask.
And keep asking and keep pounding until you get clarity.
Right.
Because you will.
Right.
And you may, for you, get something far different than what Ryan Bruce and I get.
Right.
And it's okay. In fact, it's perfect. It's just the whole view. We are, what's the word, commissioned, if you were, to say what we're saying. But all we're saying really is you have a spirit parent that you can go to 24/7, and the promise is if you will knock on the door and you keep demanding and you keep seeking, you will know the truth for you. And with this I close.
Wonderfully done. Thanks, Brad. Look forward to your next article. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ryan.